It's Dr. Rupi from the Doctor's Kitchen podcast. Now, I used to have a real issue with Wi-Fi in my flat, particularly in my kitchen, which is a bit of a dead spot. And that's an issue for me because I upload live videos to Instagram and Facebook showing people how to cook. But since I've started using this Wi-Fi disc from BT, I've now got Wi-Fi in every corner of my flat. Now, my live streaming is uninterrupted and I can even watch other people's recipes by streaming whilst I'm cooking in my own kitchen. If you want to find out a bit about how you can improve your Wi-Fi at home, check out BT Complete Wi-Fi.
I am a force for good.
I am a force for courage.
And for calm.
I am a force for safety.
For fairness.
For leadership.
I am a force for the future.
For compassion.
For my community.
I am a police officer.
And I am a force for all.
Be one of the 20,000 new police officers and be a force for all that you believe in. Search Join the Police.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors. The Bay Area Betches.
Betches!
Megan the Slayer Taylor.
Erin McNicholas. She don't miss no trickolas.
Hot dang! It's Jessica Dang.
Lisa Wallant. Now that's what I call Wallentainment.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender. Hava Nagila Weber.
Sarah Greenwood, she only uses her power for good.
He makes us squee, it's Richie D.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Ashley Schiavone, she don't take no baloney.
You don't touch the Nicky Morgan letters.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch. Higher than high res, it's Lauren Perez.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
Just saying, okay?
Christy Wowerty Dowerty.
Kelly Barlow, when she goes Barlow, we go high-low.
Hannah, God, I love that banana. Anderson.
And our super premium Patreon subscribers.
Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Shannon Out of a Cannon Anthony.
The incredible Edible Matthews Sisters.
Lulu Simon, Sue Studio.
Give them hell, Miss Noel. Kelly Stump, the Stump Master.
Always ready for Nicole Passaretti.
One day you're Rachel's in, and the next day you're out.
Be your Mosta with Tina L. Costa.
No one can do it like Andrea Jewett.
Yes, we can with Howley, Carolyn, and Ann.
Nancy Cease and Desisto. We love you guys. Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, the podcast about all that crap we just love to talk about on Ye Olde Braves. I'm Ronnie Karam. And you can find me over on the Rose Pricks Bachelor in Paradise Roast, which has its final episode this week, of Bachelor in Paradise. So go check that out. And here I am with the newly tanned and Hawaii'd out Mr. Ben Mandelker. Burned. Mr. Ben Mandelker of the Real Housewares of Kitchen Island, which is a Real Housewives cartoon, but all the Housewives are played by kitchen utensils, okay? So go check that out on YouTube. Hi, Ben. How are you, baby?
Oh, I'm good. I mean, aside from just like the low level, low grade, but constant burning that's happening on my back right now from some poor application of suntan lotion, I'm great.
Yeah. Did you go to Hawaii tea? Whoa, I've been saving that up. Okay.
Hawaii tea?
Yeah, for the Married to Medicine emergent tea episode. Emergent, but today, today is Real Housewives of Potomac. So guess I wasted that one.
I know, you shot your wad. Yes, today we're talking Real Housewives of Potomac reunion, which had me just like cracking up. I mean, really, this was... We make fun of Andy Cohen, but we also praise him when he does right. And I thought he was so funny this episode. He was so good. But before we get into that, we have all sorts of fun, exciting things. We got live shows that are coming up. Next week is actually our Charlotte and Nashville doubleheader shows. And we just announced today that we are going to be recapping Real Housewives of Orange County in Charlotte and Real Housewives of Dallas in Nashville. Those are two of our, like, top-tier recaps. We have the most fun doing them. We just love going in on those ladies. So we are so excited to be bringing those to our live shows. So go to watchacrappins.com to get tickets for those shows. Those are going to be amazing, amazing shows. And the Charlotte one in particular is going to be in an absolutely huge theater. So the more people we can cram into there, the more the energy will be. It'll be fabulous. And we've sold out most of the bottom floor, but there is actually a balcony. And there's like two rows that go around the entire balcony that I think are like still available. But still not a huge amount of tickets left. So definitely go to watchcrappins.com for that. And Nashville is also at a low ticket alert. And then just after that, we have a bunch of amazing cities that we're going to. And I'm just going to read through them right now. If you hear your city, please, please feel free to buy a ticket to our show because you're going to have an amazing time. Okay, so here we're going to Atlanta, Georgia. We got two shows going on there. We're going to Carrboro, North Carolina. That's like the Research Triangle area. Richmond, Virginia. Tampa, Florida. Never been to Tampa. And we're also going to Fort Lauderdale. I've just never been to either of those places. Indianapolis. Two shows in Chicago. One of them is sold out. Although there are VIP tickets available to that one. Two shows in New York City. St. Louis. Philadelphia, two shows, Denver, Seattle. We're going to close out the year in Seattle. And then next year, we start things back up again. We have Columbus, Ohio, and we have Houston, Texas. There are so many other cities we are going to announce. It's going to be great. But for right now, go to watchacrappins.com. And really, we always say this, if you're worried about going alone, really don't worry. We have people who have gone to the shows alone and have made like literal best friends. So you will really have a great time. And if you missed out on BravoCon, don't worry. We got shows the same weekend and the weekend after that you can come to and be with your peeps. Well, so that's really all I have to say about all that.
Well, that was very well done, Bean.
Thank you.
Find us on Cameo, find our bonus episodes on Patreon. And if you want to be a sponsor, just go over there. And thanks to everybody who does that. So I might sound a little weird. I'm in Texas this week. My pawpaw passed, which is so sad. But I'm in Texas, so if it's echoing in here, just tell me because I'm screaming and yelling. Or if my dad walks in and offers me Whataburger or what have you.
And it goes without saying, by the way, that not only I, but I'm assuming all of the Crappins community totally gives your family a big hug.
Thank you.
And sends condolences about your papa.
Thank you. And thank you guys out there who are being so nice. Yeah, poor guy. But bless him, papa. This trashy episode of Real Housewives Potomac Reunion Part 1 is for you.
Ronnie, so if I do see you on IG Live later, just know I may have some comments.
Yeah. We're going to be holding his memorial service on Instagram Live from a couch in a Marriott. So if anybody wants to join me there, I'll be in a turban. So
thanking all the people in the phone.
Yeah, the people who live in the phone.
So, yeah, we're talking about Potomac today, and this reunion had me laughing out loud. Oh, my God, was it so funny. It was just perfection.
Well, I love that this show, you know, this show does really well. I mean, well, for Housewives shows, I think it's a pretty highly rated show. Why are you guys using the same Southern Charm set you just used?
Yes.
With some faux finishing on top.
Thank you.
Like, even the liquor bottles are the same. Are you guys fucking kidding me right now?
Yeah, I'm like, what? There's Trop Hop. There's cans of Trop Hop in there. And then you, like, painted a beignet on there to be like, no, it's for New Orleans. And meanwhile, poor New Orleans, Southern Charm New Orleans, which had a fantastic season, doesn't even get to use the set that was probably built for them before they decided that there wasn't enough money to send the whole cast up to New York.
That was just so shady. That was some dinner theater shit, watching the set, watching them just repurpose this set. I mean, hilarious.
Yeah. So we, you know, the reunion starts with the usual, 3 hours before the reunion, people showing up to get their makeup on and, things like that. And Andy does that thing where he sort of like wafts into each woman's dressing room area and asks like needling questions like, you ready for tonight? Yeah. You're wearing La Dame? Yeah.
Hey, guess what? You don't only have to deal with these crazy women, but your mom is coming. How do you feel about that, Candace?
So, something that we have to address, there is a plague that is spreading across Bravo. The first wave of it was Priv Face. The second wave of it was something that I can't think of right now, but there was probably a second wave of something that has afflicted all our housewives and Bravo stars. And the third wave is Pedram Couture. Okay.
Totally. Now,
I can't be sure that Pedram Couture is, like, there was no confirmation, and I have not done the research, that anyone was wearing Pedram Couture, but I'm pretty sure Giselle was wearing it. And I think this has to stop. I think someone has to stop this Pedram guy, because he is infecting all of our housewives or just women on Bravo with these, like, faux figure skating wedding dress jumpsuits. And
I think Giselle is wearing it, because I'm looking at it now. I had to take a screenshot of all these crazy outfits, because these people are nuts. Okay, first off, they're all in white. So I think Giselle is wearing it, because it looks like the see-through part of that. You know, he does like the lace with the see-through, like ice skating shit underneath. I think hers is his color, because he likes to use that tan color.
Yeah.
And I think hers is that. I can't tell from far away. But yeah, it's like a wedding dress with shoulder pads, and then it's see-through with that stuff. Who else is wearing it? Ashley.
Well, yeah, Ashley has something that looks like it, and she has a cape. It was a really, really affected look. I just have to circle back to Giselle's shoulder pads, because the shoulder pads were just like the saddest shoulder pads I've ever seen. Because shoulder pads, if you're going to wear them, you're just going to be like, boom, I'm doing a shoulder pad. But these were just sort of like these deflated, limp puffs that were like not even at the edge of her shoulders. They were almost like at the front of her shoulders. Just sort of like, it looked like, it looked like two balloons at the end of a party. You know, it was not a straight.
Or like if you're like leaning on the glass, like you're leaning shoulder into the glass, like while you're waiting at the bank, you know?
Yeah, It was an embellishment that needed more thought, and it should have been. If you're gonna do the shoulder pad, make it a strong statement. Give it some Joan Collins. But it was
This is very like Moan Collins. And also, we're not very like we're not really. That pun was for you, Ben. Not really clothes queens. Like I don't care, but this. I mean, this. We just have to talk about him in this one. Ashley has just had a baby, and she's wearing like this open. Okay, she's wearing like a superwoman top, right? Like a bustier, this open down to her belly button, but then it's being held together by white see-through stuff, and then a see-through dress, and then like a cape shawl. She looks crazy.
Yeah, the cape was aggressive. It reminded. It was just. It was no.
Candace is wearing, where's Candy Ass? Candy Ass is wearing a giant bird feather, and then half a long dress and half a short dress.
It's like she half committed to an Angels in America costume and then decided she wanted to go Art Deco for the other half.
Yeah, Emma Thompson was busy for this one. It's just Candy Ass, like counting your ass while you're on your deathbed, you know?
Yeah, it was really crazy. Now, Robin, I think, actually, believe it or not, though, Robin was the one who looked the worst, if you ask me. Because, so she has this, like, soccer mom bob that she's done with her hair, okay? Which is, like, it's not the best, it's not the worst. But then she has this strange, like, sheer polka-dotted sleeve situation happening that reminded me of someone who has just not gone out in about 5 or 6 years because they've been stuck at home taking care of their kids. Then all of a sudden, their girlfriends are like, hey, let's go to Vegas. And they're like, great, but they don't really know what to wear to Vegas. So somehow they like land on sheer polka dot, and you're like, okay. Guess this limits what clubs we're going to tonight.
Yeah. And then she's wearing a full-length crop top dress. Okay, this is why she's the worst, because it's not really a crop top, it's like a peekaboo.
It's a keyhole.
Yeah, it's a keyhole, okay. But it's like a crop hole. And so she's not really crop top wedding dress, she's kind of like keyhole quinceañera, you know? It's like she's wearing like a floor length tight evening gown, but then with the lace over the top of it.
She is so pretty. She is so pretty. And the fact that she has, like, made two unforced errors. And the thing is that, like, the hair is, like, not the best. Like I said, it's not the best, not the worst. But coupled with that outfit, it just was, you know, I think she was put on the edge of the couch really mainly because Bravo said, we can't have this front and center on our stage.
Yeah, and because of that living room that you flipped, that tiny living room that could only fit like a thumb-sized couch. Also, I know that you're on a bargain and your whole thing is like flop or flop now, but you don't need to be borrowing Karen's wigs for the reunion. This is basically just a Karen wig.
True.
Karen owns this wig. She's worn it many times. So then Karen, speaking of, has double keyholes. Like, she's got like a lockbox. What would you call that?
She's just living in a rough part of town, and so she needs a few more extra latches on the door.
She looks like someone would grab her from the side and then lift her up horizontally like a six-pack of Cokes.
Yes. Yes. It's like those cardboard things that you push in so you can grab the handle and the soda boxes.
No, the plastic ones that that like the dolphins get stuck in. You know, it's like stuck around the dolphin mouth.
I'm a threat to the environment, but that's what you do for fashion.
Okay, so that's enough clothes. Let's get into the
bitch. Monique looked largely fine, but she had these sort of like gold or brass embellishments right above her breasts that made it look like she had a cheetah print bra sticking out the entire time. So at first I was like, what is this trashy look that Monique is going for? And then I realized it was just that the metal embellishment did that.
Oh yeah, it's like a black bra with metal stuff on it underneath.
Yeah, but somehow she looked the best, so go figure.
Oh yeah, it's so crazy that this so much has changed since the end of filming to now. Like, she's had her baby, and then Ashley is like got pregnant and had a baby. It's like nuts.
Yeah. Well, speaking of which, when the reunion starts, Andy does his usual thing. He goes, "Hi, Ashley, how are you?" She goes, "I'm a little sad, but I'm good." And he's like, "Oh, you sad because your baby Dean isn't here?" She's like, "Yeah." I'm like, "Okay. All right, Ashley, I'm already mad at you. This is not how you start off a reunion, saying that you're sad because your baby isn't there. It's been like a day. It's been, what, how many hours?"
I know, she's doing that thing where she's both wanting pity from us and us to say congratulations at the same time. Like, you can't get both things. And also, you don't need to wear your nursing napkin to the reunion. Because, you know, that's her version of a nursing nap. It's just like a see-through cloth over her boobs. She'd, like, go in public to do it, just, and it would be, like, sheer. Which, by the way, nurse in public, mothers, you deserve it. You gave birth.
Yeah, sure. And then you just know that she is the sort of mom who is just going to bring everything back to the fact that she's a mom. Okay, the fact that Andy says, "How are you?" And she's not like, "I'm great, thanks." She's like, "I'm sad because I'm not with my baby," who she probably saw, I don't know, maybe 5 hours ago. Yeah. You know, it's like, you know everything. It's like, would you like cream cheese on your bagel or egg salad? I don't know. It makes me sad because my baby can't have either of those things yet. It's like, that has nothing to do with it.
"Ma'am, would you like a refill of water?" "I'd like my baby." So he's like, "How's Michael as a dad?" And she's like, "Well, you know, he got to spank a guy's ass the first thing out of the womb and no one sued him. So that's a win, Andy. That's a win."
Yes. Then Andy asks about Giselle's dad, who he now thinks he's like a star. And, you know, Andy's just going around asking, like, "How are you? How are you?" And Monique's like, "Unlike Ashley, I'm actually happy I got away from my three kids," which is how most mothers I encounter feel all the time.
And he's like, "Well, how is baby Chase?" And they cut to a picture of her baby who's like eating a monster truck tire. He's like, he's like, wow,
knocked over a building in Tokyo.
Yeah. And by the way, Candace, I mean, I just can't get over this. It looks like a bird is trying to eat off her arm. Like an ostrich is just swallowing her arm.
It's almost like she was swallowed by a cockatoo, and then she just like punched out of the cockatoo's back.
So then Andy, who also will take, I can't believe he didn't say he had a baby in this episode, because
it is shocking.
They showed a clip for Watch What Happens Live, and he's like, "Hi, I'm Andy. And some people let themselves go after a baby, and I just let myself beard all the time." And I'm surprised that he didn't, you know, bring up his baby in this, but he doesn't get, I lost myself because I'm just talking too much and too fast, but he doesn't even have time to rhyme things because now he has a baby. Like, he doesn't watch What Happens Live, so he's like, "Hi, Robin. Looks like short hair don't care has morphed into short bob don't care. I have a baby now. All right,
no time to rhyme. I got a baby.
Someone at home come up with a rhyme for bob. Okay, thanks."
And then he's like, "Hey, Grandom, is everything good? Everything's fabulous. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. I want to thank everyone here. I'd like to thank Ray, first and foremost, for making everything fabulous. Thank you.
Thank you. I'd like to thank Macy Gray. Macy Gray. Hey, girl. It's me, Karen. Hey.
In the great words of Macy Gray, I try to run away and I stumble. What are those lyrics again?
So I hear you made the move and now you live back in Potomac. It's like, the Grand Dame has returned to claim her territory.
Yes, yes. We have a nice house right next door to a Marshall's.
I think that Karen has new teeth. Or she's got Botox placed in a different place now above her lips because now she's doing like a lip purse. But she's kind of like Bueller with a tennis ball in his mouth with a lip purse over. Have you know, like she's trying to get something. We said last week that it looked like she was trying to get something out of her teeth. But yeah. It's like something really big now. She's like,
Well... It takes, you have to make millions to lose millions and get spinach in your teeth, you know what I'm saying?
You have to the more money you have. Spinach salad to get spinach salad stuck in your new teeth, Andy.
If I were poor, I would have smaller food in my teeth, am I right?
It's better than having Cheez-Its in my teeth, am I right, Andy?
It's called Apple. Oh, you invested in Apple? No, I have Apple in my teeth.
I have a partner in Apple. His name is Jobs, all right? Jobs, Andy.
So how do the ladies feel about Michael joining later on? And Monique is nervous. And Karen says, well, you know, Michael doesn't miss a camera. The man loves a camera. Fox 5 is an indication of that. Next!
Literally, Karen spends this entire reunion pursing her lips over her new teeth and then winking at the camera. So funny that she calls him out on that. And Ashley's like,
well, yeah, but he was also a very big topic of discussion, so he should be here.
She's like, that's true, too, but Fox 5. Fox 5. 1, 2, 3, 4, Fox 5. That's all, Fox 5.
I'll tell you, my new place in Potomac has wonderful reception when I use my rabbit ears to get in, tune into Fox 5. Fox 5.
Listen, I watched Fox 5. It sounded like this.
That's Fox 5, Karen. That is.
Well, it's a great channel. I appreciate any channel that gives me a cover letter so I know what I'm going to be watching. Have you ever sat and watched a fax machine print out something for half an hour? It's fascinating.
To Grand Dame from Fox 5.
I just love that fax paper. It's so thin and shiny. So, that's what I have in my teeth, actually. There, I admitted it. I ate my fax paper. So Giselle is like, well, I, for one, am sick of talking about the Michael situation. Nah. And Karen's like, oh, she's sick of it now. She had so much to say from the chair. From the chair.
And that's not something a friend would do, Giselle.
And Andy's like, okay, well, we're going to get into it. And Giselle's like, well, I would rather, okay, then. Giselle's doing a great job. She did an overall note. Giselle did a really great job in this reunion with like pretending to be innocent while sticking to her guns while pretending that she's apologized this whole season. I mean, it was really masterful. I have to hand it to Giselle.
She was truly hilarious. So speaking of Giselle, we now have the softer side of Giselle segment where we just see her trying to be a better person for like an episode. And all this stuff, therapy and being better, but getting into fights with Karen, et cetera, et cetera. And so when we come out of it, Andy's like, so, you know, do you think you've changed or whatever? And Giselle's like, well, I have learned a lot from Dr. Ken. I've learned to be empathetic. I've learned that I always thought everyone was missing a sensitivity chip. But it turns out there's no chips missing. There's just a chip in Karen's teeth as we speak. Yes, almost got it.
Well, it's a vegetable chip from Whole Foods, Andy, not just a regular old potato chip. Take that, Giselle. You have to afford vegetable chips to get vegetable chips stuck in your teeth.
So Giselle's answer, she goes, well, you know, Dr. Ken, pointing out that you have to have empathy for other people. What a light bulb.
Yeah, I know. Who'd have thought?
So no one thinks she's changed, obviously. And Andy's like, Karen, is Giselle's mess train still on time? And she's like, well, here's what you need to do, Giselle. You must learn to change the things that you can and change the things that you can't. And Drake, that's AA, Karen. Just get to the point, okay? It's like, thanks for the advice, Karen. Are you jumping down Giselle's throat or are you helping her as a friend right now?
Listen, it's... here's what I have to say about Giselle changing, okay? It's, these are lessons that we learned back in Sesame Street. I bring that up because I have a sesame seed stuck in my teeth right now as we speak. Oh, no, it's still there. Yep, that's still there. Yep, C is for cookie and it's stuck in my teeth.
And Giselle's like, well, I think the way that I am has served me quite well. I'm like, why am I just now noticing that you have two boomerang-shaped diamonds that are attached to each other? Like, they're two boomerangs hanging onto each other, dangling. Please don't drive, is what I'm saying. Please don't drive.
It's her way of taunting Ashley and the failure of Oz. Well, I guess there wasn't a demand for Australian food as much as there was a demand for Australian-themed earrings. I also liked, for some reason, it made me laugh that when Andy asked Karen if Giselle's shade train is still on time, she goes, it is! It's reckless. I just like the idea of a reckless train just like going off the tracks but coming back on. Like,
yeah, that's how much like Karen knows about public transportation.
Yeah. I don't trust that train. It's a reckless train.
You know, that train is on time, like Sandra Bullock and Keanu trying to save a train full of poor people, Andy.
You ever see Thomas the Train? Reckless train. I think I can be reckless.
So then Andy asks about Sherman and if Giselle is still in touch with him. And I mean, that seems like forever ago, that whole Sherman thing.
I'm like, why do we have to still talk about Sherman? He was never interesting. Their relationship was never interesting. I mean, thankfully, it was like a pretty small part of this. But basically, he didn't go to Candace's wedding, which seems like ages ago at this point, because he was afraid that he'd have to talk to Monique and didn't want to have the conversation publicly. And Monique's like, what we're not going to do is blame me for that. And I agree. I mean, Sherman, you did bang some hookers in the park or whatever it was. So
Allegedly.
Okay. And by hookers, I mean you banged some hook-shaped hooks into a tree.
Yeah, he did that, but we disagreed on this back in the day, like 9 years ago when we originally talked about this. Because why would you bring the man on camera to talk about banging hookers at a wedding again, you know? But Giselle is like, well, he should have been there to support Tamia, which leads us right into our next section of why can't Giselle keep a man? And he's like,
he's like, well, before that, though, before why can't Giselle keep a man? There was Karen who was talking when they talked about Sherman, and was Karen surprised that Sherman didn't show up? And she goes, "Well, I was very honest that I did receive a phone call from Saks. Yeah, Saks Fifth Avenue gave me a call and said Giselle has broken up with Sherman. Is it true?"
And he's like, "Saks called you?" She goes, "Yes, Saks called me. What better way to get the word about the street out than from an actual avenue, Andy?"
I thought she was going to say, when I said she got a call from Saks, I mean that a friend called her from within Saks, but she's like, no, I got a call from Saks Fifth Avenue. And then my friend Neiman called and said, did you hear about what Saks did?
You should have heard what Nordsy has to say. It was off the rack, Andy, reckless.
Oh, well, anyway, I have to be off to the wedding of my two new friends, Lord and Taylor.
Come on, TJ.
Have you seen my friend B. Altman's?
It's just going downhill. It's like, and then I called my friend Filene, who was busy in her basement, and I said, Listen here,
get out of your basement. You don't belong in the basement. You have to have made basements to lose basements. Aren't I right? Anyone? Oh, damn cookie in my teeth.
So yeah, she literally got a call from Saks Fifth Avenue asking her if they were broken up.
It was like a sales call. It's like, Karen Huger, you are eligible for the Saks credit card. Sherman's there. Oh, okay. Like, what? Even the robot's like, I did not say that.
So let's see here. So Karen's like, well, you know, I didn't say anything because I didn't want to hurt you. And she's like, well, it didn't hurt me. It didn't hurt me. So you didn't win.
Yeah. And of course, Giselle does the standard. I hear a lot of things about Karen in the streets that I do not repeat. Like, name one that you have not repeated.
So Andy's like, so do you have a love life? Because I heard that you have a love life. And she's like, well, yes, there's someone I love. Sorry, yeah. I just sent that to Giselle's mouth on accident. Cancel the fax, number five. Cancel the fax.
Yeah, he's like, yes, there is somebody that I have been committed. Yes, there is someone perhaps pursuing me, and I'm enjoying the pursuit. It's like, come on, Giselle, just spit it out.
Yeah. And Andy's like, well, I heard that it is your ex-husband, Jamal. And of course it is, you know, which we've already heard all of that. And Giselle's like, well, you know, I know this much. I know that we are not our past mistakes. Unless you're Karen Huger.
Yeah, and Karen's like, well, I actually heard about this from someone who sits the front pew at his church. It was an actual pew that called me. Amazing, it called me.
And I said, you know, this, listen, pew, well, if anybody can stand a chance of making it with him, it's Giselle.
And then I immediately called up my good friend Penny, you know, Penny Saver, and I said, listen, did you hear about Giselle's new man? More like her old man. Am I right? Do you have any home remedies for how to get a piece of stale bread out of your teeth?
Stop gossiping over stock.
She's just down to discount websites now.
Yeah. Let me tell you something. There's no fair way to get back into relationships. I learned that from Wayfair, actually. Who told me about this.
Now, listen here, Giselle. You're about to be put on Angie's List, all right?
It's like, wait a minute. That's not even a shopping website, Garrett, okay?
So, yeah. Anyway, so Giselle basically is like, nobody is who their mistakes are. So, yes,
tell that to, we're back tell together. That to Felicity Huffman.
Oh, hey.
Tell that to anybody in jail right now, okay?
No. We're telling it to Felicity Huffman, yeah. Not to anyone. We're telling it to Felicity for the next 2 weeks while she's in jail.
Yeah, for the 5 minutes she spends in jail. Listen up, Felicity. You are not your mistakes. Okay, you've served your time. Get out. I'll remarry you.
Yeah, so Giselle goes, Karen's right. Nobody knows me like that man. And just cuts to Karen giving like a pucker of approval. Like, this is a positive pucker.
And Giselle, we find out that Giselle, you know, is back with him and she might be a first lady again. So that's why she's being so nice. And she's even saying things like this. I know Jesus, dagnabbit. And Robin's like, yeah, and that's why Giselle is so supportive of me and Juan, because she totally gets being cheated on and being trashed and then, you know, like just still making it work no matter what. I'm like, wrap it up, Robin, okay? You said one line and you can already wrap it up over there.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a crap.
It's Dr. Rupi from the Doctor's Kitchen podcast. Now, I used to have a real issue with Wi-Fi in my flat, particularly in my kitchen, which is a bit of a dead spot. And that's an issue for me because I upload live videos to Instagram and Facebook showing people how to cook. But since I've started using this Wi-Fi disc from BT, I've now got Wi-Fi in every corner of my flat. Now, my live streaming is uninterrupted and I can even watch other people's recipes by streaming whilst I'm cooking in my own kitchen. If you want to find out a bit about how you can improve your Wi-Fi at home, check out BT Complete Wi-Fi.
I am a force for good.
I am a force for courage.
And for calm.
I am a force for safety.
For fairness.
For leadership.
I am a force for the future.
For compassion.
For my community.
I am a police officer. And I am a force for all.
Be one of the 20,000 new police officers and be a force for all that you believe in. Search Join the Police.
Weapons commercial.
So now we go on to a Karen segment where, you know, it's like, we see her mourning her parents and then diving into life and getting Ladam off the ground, etc. And when we come out of it, you know, it ends with Karen saying, "And big news, Ladam is going to be in a retail store soon. And when it happens, you can go into said store and buy it, because it will certainly be in a store that exists."
I heard it from Dressabarna. So Karen did have a pop-up in a Barney's.
Bloomingdale's.
Bloomies.
We didn't even say Barney's. We had Barney's. We never even used it.
I think she did. Oh, yeah. I think she did pop Bloomies. Up in a Barney's, though, didn't she? I mean,
well,
today
if
she
you
says
mean like she went to a Flintstones experience at like Universal, maybe she did. She's like, "Oh, I brought it on the ride, the Barney ride."
She's just popping up in a Barney.
Yes, you can find Ladam in Bloomingdale's. It's literally in Bloomingdale's. I walked in with it and I walked out with it. I didn't say it was on sale there. It just happened to be physically inside one.
It's like, "Honey, how much is the thread count on these towels?" "Whoa, it's Karen Huger." It's like, "Hello, it's me, Karen Huger, just popping up for these towels at Barney's."
Oh, the most terrifying thing would be Karen just popping up out of nowhere at a department store. Any store. Oh, what a nice stroll through TJ Maxx. Oh, isn't it?
Listen, take my advice, word on the street. Gather. Gather.
Wow, I've never been into one of these Bass Sporting Goods stores, and this is... Oh, fishing! I like to fish. Here, have some Ladam for the fish.
Well, thank you for coming to this Dick's. Of course, I had to pop up in a Dick's to get you to visit me, Michael.
Oh, hi! I'm in Aaron Brothers right now. Appropriate, because I've been framed so many times.
So stupid. So Andy's like, "So does anybody have the Dom? Like, is anybody wearing it right now?" And Candace is like, "No, but I do have some in my purse, Andy."
"I have it with me, but I'm not wearing it. It's in my suitcase," which I think should go on the commercial. "La Dame, you have it with you, but you're not wearing it. It's in your suitcase."
Oh. So Andy's like, "So Karen, why, you know, everybody says this is for old ladies. What's that?" And she's like, "Well, it's popular with a wide hue of people, Andy. A very wide hue. Andy."
Not totally the proper use of hue, but then again, I say words incorrectly all the time. "It's popular with many people. Some who are 90 and some who are 85. I mean, the range is just huge."
So, Andy's like, "So why did you thank Giselle at the launch when she was so terrible to you, basically?" And she's like, "Well, I wanted to pretend that my old friend was still there, but I see you, Giselle, I see you, making up stories that I don't own my company, Giselle,
And Giselle goes, "I didn't say you didn't. I said, maybe you don't." And then Karen said, "You said I'm the face of the company, and I am. And a beautiful face it is. A beautiful face that just so happens to have some old shrimp in its teeth. Can't get that stringy piece out."
And Karen answers in such a Karen way, because she's like, "Yes, it is my fragrance, and I have a partner." And I'm like, "Whoa." Who cares either way? Who cares? Yeah, I'm not really sure. So then,
I think it's pretty. If you're the face of a fragrance, that's, I think, good enough, if you ask me.
Yeah. So she's like, "Well, I never said anything negative about any who." Like, you just did. You called it any who. Okay.
You called it any who.
After we know that you know how to pronounce you because you just misused it. Okay.
You also aggressively ignored it at the at that expo last season. When you walked by, you're like, "Ooh, what else is here at this expo? Oh, look, envelopes. That's fun. I wish I had a friend here who was also selling something, but I guess I don't."
Anywho, Andy, let's move on. "Look, I just gave you a plug, Giselle."
So now they start talking about the Instagram Live situation that happened in New Orleans when Karen decided to stay in for the night and just hang out at home because she was emotionally drained. And then Giselle got mad at her because she went on to IG Live, which I still don't think is that big of a deal, and who cares? And so Giselle's like, "Well, in my mind, I thought she was in bed. And when I saw her on IG Live, I thought it was shocking and funny. And we talked about it in a shocking, funny way. It was not a shady in any way." I'm like, you literally turned it into a plot point.
Yeah, Giselle. Backpedaling Giselle while just standing there. I mean, she's got a talent.
She really does. So Karen explains herself. She's like, here's what was happening. I was lying in bed and I thought, let me thank the people in the phone. That's what I call them, the people in the phone. We all know it's just tiny little fax machines in there just sending interesting images to the phone. So I said, hey, thank you, all you people in the phone. Next time I'd appreciate some cover letters so I know what to expect, but I thank you nonetheless.
And Giselle's like, well, you were making it sound like I was making fun of your parents, and that is nasty to put on me. And Karen's like, what's nasty is you even touching how I grieve, even touching it, Giselle. How could you? And then she winks and nods to the camera. She's like, hello, camera. Hello, it's still me. It's still me talking about dead parents. Camera.
Okay, let's pull out a little bit. Let's not get too close. I don't want you to see the poppy seeds that are in my bicuspid.
So Andy, we go straight from dead parents to Andy going, so Karen, are you renting your house? Or did you buy it? It's like, wow, what a transition.
And she goes, well, we're considering all options. You know, we might buy, we might rent, we might just squat a little bit just for the fun of it. I don't know. What I've done is I've put every option in a different pot and pan. I'm going to have Ray go and shake them all and see what falls out.
I'm just going to start popping up wherever I can, Andy.
Karen just pops up in different houses all over
town. Hello, Yoga Land. So Andy goes, so you're renting. And then she's like, yes. And he goes, so Think Furniture is the Great Falls house? Yes, of course. Why wouldn't it be? I mean, we absolutely owned all that furniture because it was absolutely our house. Of course, the same furniture.
Oh, good. So then we move on to Miss Dorothy.
Oh, God.
Hi,
Miss Dorothy.
That voice on Miss Dorothy is a screecher. I won't even torture you guys with it today, but wow.
No, I think you should. I think you should, because my version will be even weirder.
Hi, Andy.
I can't even get the tone of her voice.
We're just doing Bisley Collins, Mom.
Hi, Andy. You're doing great, Andy. You're doing great, Candace. Just kidding.
So Andy is like, so are you guys still in counseling? At which point the women just stare at each other like, with this bitch, I'm not spending an extra second of my time or money.
And they do that thing where they back away from each other on the couch. They're like, we are just wacky, a hateful mother and daughter team. Wow.
So Andy starts talking about the wedding. Was it worth all the fighting and the tears? And they're like, yes, of course it was. And Dorothy starts explaining, oh, God, now I've got to try to do the voice.
The thing that got me upset was your other people, Candace. I mean, that was a little harsh throwing that up in my face. I mean, that was my trauma. You and your dad should have handled that.
Which I don't know what she was. I don't know what voice that was either.
You're like Tom Sandoval imitating Colin from a load.
I'm okay with that.
Me too, actually. I'm really enjoying it.
Candace, dude. Candace.
I had her voice like a few weeks ago, I feel like.
Maybe I should be more in this space.
So now it's Tom Sandoval and doing Collie's mom.
So the mom is Dorothy's trying to pretend like she was never mad. She was just mad that Candace told her, and she keeps trying to talk herself out of it, but she can't. And Andy's like, so are you trying to say that you would have rather she invite the brother and not tell you? And she's like, yes, Andy, that's exactly right.
Yeah, I would have been totally fine with that, Andy. It's like, no. And then someone had this amazing question. Someone basically asked, you know, you were mad at your ex for having a son, but you still married him. So if you could forgive him, why can't Candace have a relationship with her half brother? And Dorothy's like, oh, I never stopped her from having a relationship.
Yeah.
Except for all the times you said that he can't come to the wedding, you know.
Yes. And then she's like, well, the only reason I even knew about it. Okay, look, here, Mom. I brought him up 2 times to you, okay? When I found out about him, she goes, oh, yeah, and how did you find out about him? She's like... Like, the mom's, Dorothy's making it sound like Candace did some horrible thing by finding out something bad about the brother. Because, and then Candace starts the story. She's like, well, Dad had this poem on his dresser. And then she starts crying. And then her mother
whips out.
Yes, this is so good. So her mother whips out the Kleenex and folds it into a square and hands it to her. And so Aunt Candace, does the dab with the square in her eye. And then Dorothy starts doing her own square dab, and then it's a dab off. They're just fighting with their
stupid square. It's so
dueling
funny.
Dab off. And Candace goes, I don't want to cry about this, which, aka, I am so about to cry about this.
Yes. And poems, I don't know, something about a poem that said,
well, yeah.
What was it that got lost in this poem?
It was just that basically that the son wrote a poem to the dad and it said, like, love your son. And Candace saw it and then called up her mom and was like, what the hell is this? Because she thought she was an only child, etc. And Monique in the corner just starts snickering. She's like, the family drama of Potomac. And Karen goes, it's real. It's real. I'll tell you what else is real. La Dame coming to a Ace Hardware near you.
Yeah, Monique comes back, like, completely feisty again, because she's like, what's a mom even doing on the couch?
Yeah, she clearly has never watched Atlanta with Mama Joyce, or...
Yeah, what the hell?
There have been other moms that have been there. Monique!
Yeah, but she didn't do much this season, so she's just trying to be bitchy about anything she can get her hands on, you know, which I approve of.
Yeah, yeah. So then everyone tries to convince Dorothy that Candace loves her mom so much that, and like, the evidence of how much Candace loves Dorothy is the fact that Candace was so stressed out about having to bring up the brother to Dorothy for the wedding. But Candace gets stressed out like going to Yogurtland. Okay, she's like, do I want the mocha? Do I want the tart?
You're hungry over there today. Yogurtland just keeps popping up.
I've mentioned it twice.
Like, I'm literally craving Yogurtland now.
I'm going to mention a third time, and you won't know when it's going to happen. It's going to happen.
My Filene's basement is your yogurt land. Okay, we'll just keep saying it.
Well, you took Filene's basement, so I just have to... I'm digging into yogurt land. It takes two yogurt lands to equate to one Filene's basement.
Actually, that sounds good, but I think down the street we have a yogurt planet, which is totally different than yogurt land, wow. Anyone, just
well,
in case
you.
You're...
It's the whole planet.
Yeah, just in case anybody's wondering.
Yeah.
So then she's like, well, I've been married 25 years, Andy, you know. I mean, I made Candace the person she is today. And then everyone starts cracking up. Like, what are you bragging about? And then Karen, out of nowhere, it's like, not about you, Karen, you know. But Karen's like, well, I care for both of you. And I encourage you to boop, work through this. It's like, whoa, how'd you get right in front of my face, Karen?
Well, to quote a song that I once sang, you gotta get through this. Gotta get through this! Gotta get through this! Karen, you did not sing that song. That's not your song.
Well, listen, you try to walk away and you fall and you try to get up and you stumble or something. Right, Macy? Am I right, Macy?
To quote my good friend Macy Gray, hey, why didn't you call me last night? It's her lesser song. So,
Why don't you call me?
I used to love that song.
I liked it too. I didn't understand why it was a better hit. That's like something that we all have gone through. Hey, why didn't you call me? I also want to point out Dorothy is so crazy. She's also denying that she, because Andy is like, Dorothy is saying things like, well, when a husband cheats on a wife and has outside children, the pain is on the wife. And Giselle's like, have you healed from that pain? She's like, I think I have. And Andy just goes, I don't. She's yeah. like, no, I'm totally healed. Yes, Dorothy, yes, totally healed.
Yeah, he's like, so how does this hitting your daughter in the face with your purse fit in with all of this? And she's like, you just heard one side of the story, Andy. You want to hear the other side? You're doing great, Collie. So she pulls out her purse, and she shows us the purse she had.
And everyone goes, demonstrate on Giselle, show it on Giselle.
It's very Steel Magnolias. It's like, here, hit Weezer. So, so Dorothy's like, well, here's what happened, okay? She's starting a fight with me, and then she's getting in my face. And so she stood up. So I stood up. I'm like, so far, you sound totally mature in this fight, you know?
Yeah. She goes, I went, bye, girl. And she shows that she just spreads her hands out, as one does. With a bag.
Like popping out of a cake with a bag in her hand. And Andy's having her demonstrate on him. And Andy is like full on improv scene in this, right? He's like standing and then he's like looking with his eyes to see where the bag is coming from, but pretending he's not looking. Like when you're practicing fake slaps with your siblings, you know? And then he actually moves his face like he's been hit. It's like, wow, Andy, good job. Good job at UCB, Andy. Good job.
And basically, Dorothy and Candace are full of shit. Both of them are. Because Dorothy literally says, she may have bumped her head into my purse, but I didn't hit her. And then Candace goes, and then Andy's like, well, she was in pain over this incident. And Dorothy's like, well, she's a drama queen, whatever. And then Candace says, well, my perspective is that I had a welt on my forehead. I'm like, a welt?
You did not have a welt on your forehead. I mean, right after being called a drama queen, she's like, well, yeah. Here's what I know. I looked like the Phantom of the Opera for 5 weeks after, you know?
Here's what I know. I was decapitated and in a one-of-a-kind surgery at John Hopkins. They actually got my head back onto my neck. But if it weren't for that surgery, I would be dead. Thanks, mother.
She's like, well, that's your perspective. Well, that's your perspective. Well, that's your perspective. Well, that is your perspective.
Yeah. So what is Candace's living situation right now? Are you still in your mom's house? She's like, Andy, here's what happened. When we got the house, we both signed our names. It just so happened that my mother's name was in the official signature part, and my name was on the back of a page with a doodle, okay? But we both signed our names, okay? And here I want to show you what this is. And then Monique in the corner said, she said, forget the receipt. I'm bringing a whole deed.
And she did. She pulled out the classic housewives filing cabinet from behind a pillow and pulls out this huge envelope. And so she's like, here, Andy, you can read it. So Andy does that, like, pretending to be punched in the face, like he's really reading it, you know?
Me at a museum. That's called Ben reading the placard at a museum. Like, oh, wow, okay, very interesting. I've only read two sentences. And I'm like, it's too hard.
Yeah, I'm really here for the art and not sniffing around for the hot dog bar or whatever is in there. So Andy's like, not you personally, that's just what I do.
I love the hot dog bar at the MoMA.
Wow, I'm always smelling so for popcorn or whatever in the museum. He's like reading it and he's like, it says Dorothy and Candace. It does say that. And she goes, therefore, it is my home. Okay. No, that doesn't really mean anything. It just means that your mom let you be on that paperwork. Okay. And then he goes, so you're paying the full mortgage now? And she says, yes, we are. And the mom goes, if you say so, Candace.
Mother. By the way, just because you both signed, when she says, therefore, it's my home, it's like, and it's your mother's home, too. And it's your mother's home. I mean, how many times? It's
still your mother's
home, yeah. Yeah, as well as your home. But how many times do you think her mom does stuff and then Candace takes full credit for it?
Yeah, she's like, it's Quiznos and my sub sandwiches, okay? It's like, no, ma'am. No, it's not. That made no sense, sorry.
Wow, we're really building a wonderful, like, strip mall Quiznos, here.
I know. Quiznos. I've been to imaginary Quiznos, I think, 4 times in this recap.
I haven't been to Quiznos. I had a period of my life where I ate Quiznos all the time, and then out of nowhere, I just stopped. I think it's because Quiznos tried to start doing, I mean, they always do, like, toasted sandwiches, but they start doing things like, it's a prime rib sandwich, or like, oh, look, it's like a barbecue chicken sandwich. I'm like, no, give me just like a toasted deli sandwich. I don't want your, like, shitty prime rib.
Yeah, anyway, Quiznos really goes far, and then they charge you too much. But did you know that I'm Quiznos legacy? My family opened the first Quiznos in El Paso, Texas, when Quiznos first came out. And then it failed because people were like, toasted sandwiches? What the heck is this nonsense? It was right by the college, right by UTEP. And then they closed, and then Quiznos became this humongous chain. And my mom was like, I told you so! God damn it, I told you all!
This is making me want to get back involved with Quiznos. And by the way, El Paso was the answer to a clue in the New York Times crossword puzzle this weekend. How about that?
Whoa, look at that. So there's your answer, everybody, for your crossword puzzle.
Spoiler.
Who owned the first El Paso Quiznos? And the answer is Rhonda.
Rhonda. And there we go.
Five across.
They're talking about Giselle was talking. I guess they're still talking about the house. And Giselle says that she was talking with Dorothy, and Dorothy apparently volunteered to Giselle that she was going to pay for the $2 million house that they want to upgrade to. And now Dorothy, of course, is denying that she would ever say that, which prompts Karen in the corner to say, oh, wow, ooh, the lies.
Lies. You have to have $2 million to lie about $2 million. Dorothy. And so the mom's like, I wouldn't even lie about that. I'm a very frugal person. She's like, I already bought Candace the house, and it was $1 million. I wouldn't spend $2 million, all right? I'm like, okay, thanks for negating this entire conversation that we just had.
So Louise from Ohio says, why is Candace allowed to talk about everyone's family, but if Ashley brings up her mom, a butter knife comes out? And Candace says, the reason you got hit with a butter knife is because like you kept coming into my house. And like, no, that happened. She kept coming back in the house after you kicked her out with a butter knife, etc. And Candace is basically like, I looked into your beady little eyes and I saw that you meant to be nasty and disrespectful.
Yeah, and so then we get into, then begins a screaming match between Ashley and Candace of who is more of a mooch on other people. Is it Candace who mooches off her mother, or is it Ashley who married a rich old guy for his money? Like, who's the biggest mooch here? So Ashley's
you better back it up. You're the least accomplished person on this couch. You're the least accomplished person. You are the least accomplished person on this couch. You are the least accomplished.
She just keeps repeating herself over and over. She goes into a Vicki Gumbelson mode.
And Candace, I mean, she comes strong with fighting words. She's like, I wasn't picked out of obscurity as you were to be placed in a townhome to be a black trophy. I was like, damn.
Oh my God, they were going so fast, I didn't even catch that. But Ashley goes, Candace goes, what do you do? What is it that you do? And Ashley's like,
did I have a brick and mortar restaurant that I was 50% owner of?
Do you understand business? And which, of course, Candace doesn't understand. She's like, I do not like octopus. No, that's not what business is. She's like, okay, well, I don't understand it.
Candace literally says, I came out of her cooch, so whatever she gave me, I earned. It's called legacy.
Literally, like, that is, it's no, you don't, that's, that the she got that literally inverted.
Yeah.
She's basically talking about nepotism. She's like, listen, okay, anything my mother gave me, I earned because it was my birthright. I'm like, no, that's entitlement, not earning.
But, so you can earn it coming out of one vagina, but you can't earn it going in a vagina. It's like a weird entrance and exit sign, and this whole fight just is every line. I kept pressing pause to just hear what they were saying.
It was so much so quickly out of nowhere. I just like took like a few select. I was like, I can't take notes on all of this. I'm writing down a few lines.
I came out of her cooch, so whatever she gave me, I earned. How does that even make any sense?
I don't even know. I don't know why she was even mentioning her mom's cooch.
I know.
And then she's like, Michael is in his 70s and he's about to check out and you are just going to collect that check. She basically is implying that Ashley is just a huge, huge, huge gold digger.
Yeah, you're both waiting for senior citizens to die. Let's face it, okay? Neither one of you wins. And if somebody does win, I think it's Ashley because at least she's doing the work. You know, she's putting up with Michael. She's earning it, okay? I don't like when people act like they're better than you for not earning their money. It's never made sense to me.
Yeah, exactly. And what's funny is that here is Candace accusing Ashley of being a gold digger. And then in this like sudden moment of calm, Dorothy and Candace start saying how Chris actually comes from a very prominent family that owns one of the largest companies from here to the tip of West Virginia, but he's like very modest about it. I'm like, so then what does that make Candace? A gold digger, right? I mean, based on the logic going on here. But the point is this. Like, how are you accusing Ashley of being a gold digger when you are, like, you literally, I don't know what Candace does all day, which is a question, but, like, when you were now bragging about the fact that Chris comes from, like, a very, very prominent family.
Well, yeah, I mean, and it's like, crazy because Chris doesn't, from what we've seen on the show, Chris doesn't live off that money, right? Because Chris is poor. Like, isn't that the whole point? So Dorothy's using it, like, as a character thing. Like, well, he's not... Because Ashley's saying, well, he's a bad person, too. You two are made for each other. Because Chris said some nasty stuff to her on Twitter, which we'll get to. So she's like, you two are made for each other. And the mom's like, well, in his defense, he does come from a rich family. So he couldn't be that bad of a person, you know? It's like, you guys suck. You guys really suck. And you do it so enjoyably. I mean, wow.
So it's true. So then Donald from Virginia asks my favorite question of the hour. Candace, what do you do all day? And she has no answer. She goes, trust and believe I have owned all my businesses longer than anyone else has had a business on this show. I'm like, what
are you talking? Name one, please.
Like, Candy Crush is not your business, okay?
And then Ashley goes,
"Oh yeah, well I competed for Miss America,"
and she starts like counting her fingers, like she's gonna have a huge list to go down. And Candace is like, "Well, what does that shit do for you?" And she's like,
"Oh, well, people ask me. People know me. Ask around. They know me."
And she goes, "Oh yeah, I'll bet. You know what you're known for? Being a nasty hoe and being a concubine." I was like, "Oh my god." Good Lord.
Nasty. So how does Dorothy deal with Candace flipping out? And Dorothy's like, "I'm not happy about it." And Andy says, "Is her behavior reflective of your behavior?" She's like, No. Sorry, my daughter ran into my purse again.
And he's like, "Okay, well, thanks. Get out of here. Okay, fine. And take your purse with you." And Candace is like, "We love you, Mommy."
So then there's like a break, and Ashley's like, "Oh, my mom is sending me Dean videos. Oh," I'm like, "Oh my god, you think you're like the first person to have a baby, for crying out loud. It's not exciting for the rest of us to hear that you're getting videos about your baby."
Yeah, and she shows everybody the pictures that she's getting, and Giselle goes, "Oh, he doesn't look like Michael there, because that baby did come out like a little tiny miniature version of Michael. He's like, Hello there.
Hello, I've got business to attend to and deals and such. So, and it's now we go into an Ashley segment, and Andy says, "Ashley, you came into the season healing from your marriage, and you had a hard time giving up your Corona habit, and one Judgy Judy couldn't help but notice." Mm-hmm. I'm like, I don't think Judgy Judy is a thing.
Let's watch. So then we see really gross Ashley and Michael clips, which not my favorite part of the season, I have to say.
Yeah,
look like how in love we are. Yeah.
Ugh. Yeah. Ugh. So we come out of it.
It's like watching How This House Was Made.
No, I said it's like watching Gila Monsters mate.
It's like
how a house is made.
It's like one Gila monster like trying to mate with, I don't know, what something smooth. It's a smooth animal. Just let it pass.
No
just
need
let
to it pass. Ask. You're a smooth animal.
That's for you, Macy.
Yeah, it's a smooth animal. Maybe a more eel.
So then we get into this fight where Ashley said, "Well, I put in my work and I'm ready to yield my profits," which, you know, she was just making a joke. But of course, now they're all going to jump on this.
Yeah, I think I miss her saying that, to be honest.
She said it was a clip when she was like, and she goes,
"Oh, that's so bad, but it's so true."
So then, are we having a baby or are we having a Corona? So then it's baby fight time.
Yeah, time for the babies. So, yeah, because there's some talk about the wig and her crazy Andy. Wig,
etc. Do you want to start with the wig or do you want to end with the wig? Your choice.
You know, I'm glad he brought it up because that wig, I feel like... it was a terrible wig. And I was like, that looks like something her mom would wear. So when she said that her mom actually has the same wig, I was like, okay, this makes sense. So there was some talk about, you know, she was depressed and she's hormonal, all this stuff. You know, typical baby stuff. It was fine. It was, you know. And Michael, you know, why did Michael change his mind about having a child? Because remember last season he didn't want one. And now he had felt heard and validated. So therefore he was baby ready, I suppose. So, and then Andy brings up the dad, and Ashley says that, you know, she will always forgive her dad, but, you know, because she's always holding out hope that he will come around.
Yeah, but and Giselle's like, well, did you see the pictures circulating of her dad on the internet that says that the dad looks exactly like Michael La? And so then we get into, does she just have daddy issues? And she's like,
kind of.
Yeah. So then Andy says, okay, so here's a tweet that you sent. And oddly enough, with this tweet, we see a screenshot and the emojis were blurred out. I guess are emojis kind of like proprietary content? It's sort of interesting.
I don't know. But, it's nothing safe. It's nothing. Can we just do nothing in this world anymore?
Yeah, I know.
I'm going to get sued for using your emoji.
Seriously. So Andy reads the tweet. This is from Ashley. He goes, hello, my friends. This motherhood journey is the best feeling in the world. I have stepped out of my peace bubble to say I will spare no one at this reunion. Mail order Cooch Katie and Hamster Face Candace will hear what I have to say then. I just love how the tweet starts in this, like, like, beautiful, motherhood, babies, life is wonderful, and Candace has a hamster face. Space. Just goes to there.
And then Ashley's like,
yeah, Andy, you know, well, I wrote that tweet because some people just don't know how to be decent human beings on social media.
And Candace goes, what do you mean? You don't know how to be a decent person in person, okay?
Yeah, so Chris apparently defended Candace on Twitter, and he sent some tweet, you know, so it just escalated. And so Candace and Ashley just start bickering, and it cuts to Robin. Robin doing her watching Fox 5 face, which is when she goes, oh my God.
Yeah, Ashley's, basically Chris was like, all Candace said was saying that you wanted to be healthy and then you're drinking Coronas or something like that. So Ashley's like,
he was talking about my miscarriage.
And then they're screaming at each other and then they're just yapping. I mean, it's like screech, 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 screech. And then we get subtitles for this part when Ashley just goes,
my vagina was always in your mouth.
Always. Andy goes, okay. So then there's like, you know, one of the things that was in the Ashley montage was Giselle saying that Ashley snuck that baby right in, right when the prenup was about to expire, etc. And so Andy's like, was there something in the prenup that the money, you get more money for the longer the marriage? And she's like, nope, no, there's not.
You talked about it on this show, Ashley, okay?
Well, and then what happens, basically, what we do learn is that after 5 years, there is no prenup. So basically, the implication is that like she had the baby, so that way
to get child support,
yeah,
or whatever. But Karen's like, well, you know, you said the first year. Remember, you said if it's before 5 years, you just get $1 million or something. She's like, yeah, if it ended before 5 years. So they start into this prenup. You guys, we've all seen the Ashley's first season, you know, but they're pretending it never happened, and no one knew that this prenup rule or whatever. Well, remember they broke up right before the prenup expired because he's like, I don't know if I want to stay with you past the 5 years.
Yeah, exactly. And like I think the point is this, that like after the prenup expires, then it's 50-50. So right. By having the baby, it means that like, the women are saying that it's more likely that she will stay in the relationship beyond the 5 years and then be entitled to half of his money.
Right. So they broke up before that 5 years. They separated so that they could decide if they were going to stay together, like if Michael really wanted to give half of his money to her. And then, so they're saying that Giselle's like, well, so that's what I'm saying is it invalidates that argument because she had the baby after that 5 years was up. So it wouldn't matter. Yeah. It's like, it's the craziest. So, it's hard to follow because it's a lot of yelling.
Yeah, yeah, and I don't know why we are like so hell-bent.
I know,
on
because it goes
it.
On because it goes on. So every time I scroll my notes, they're still talking about it. That's why. Sorry, everybody.
No. So then eventually, then Andy's like, so on the date that Ashley gave birth, Candace, you tweeted, "Where is your income, Roach? You laid on your back to get the $2 you do get. I been had jobs while you turn tricks. Any regrets about that? You want to apologize?" And she goes, "For what?" He's like, maybe for doubting her intentions to get pregnant, considering she gave birth that day.
Oh, God, that's Candace's favorite thing, is calling people a roach online. She called some viewer paycheck to paycheck roach. I mean, gross. Candace is really vile. And on a show where people really get low down, Candace is the worst. I mean, even Ashley stops at one point. She's like, God, you're really bad. Like, you're just
she
vile.
Is really vile. And I'm so proud of her. You know what? Because last season she was just like this kind of like a little bit of a doormat, and this season she's like, you know what, I mean, I'm gonna commit to being vile, and God bless, that's what we need on these shows sometimes. So yeah. I say keep being vile, and I want to see you next season.
Yeah, so Andy's like, well, at that rainbow party, which was already about, you know, a miscarriage, and then Ashley is talking about her miscarriage, and then Michael is crying, and you were doubting that? I mean, what was going on with that? I mean, it seemed pretty nasty. And she's like, well, what I was trying to say is that I didn't believe his intention. And he goes, well, what do you think the intention was? And she goes, attention, Andy.
Yeah, good one, says Candace. The woman who is like currently folding yet another tissue to dab her tears.
Yeah. So then Robin's like, well, I think what you're trying to say is, you know, you were saying that he was doing it for the cameras. And she's like,
possibly. That's what I'm saying, Andy.
And he's like, okay, well, knowing that Michael allegedly groped someone the day that he was crying about the miscarriage, you know, is that what you were talking about? Is that what you found weird? I was like, geez, Andy. Just push it right along, Andy. Push it right along.
Yeah, exactly. So then Ash is like, you're on a whole other level. And Candace is like, so are you, from beneath my shoe, from my penthouse, your husband's penthouse. They were basically having an argument about altitudes. And so then...
Tell your husband to keep his hands to himself. And you, with all your Toms, Dicks, and Harrys in you.
I was like, whoa, geez. So then they just devolve into going, facts.
Facts of Life. They have a great store. That's where La Dame is featured in the merchandise store.
Not a roast.
So then all of a sudden Michael starts to show up and he's got full on back sweat, which they of course put on camera. And then he's like watching from some balcony, like,
oh God,
they like show, a bald headed Romeo yes. and Juliet scene.
He's like Al Swearengen from Deadwood. He's just like this old guy on the top of a saloon looking down and he's sweating and he's like chewing like tobacco or something. He's like with his arms crossed looking down on Deadwood. Like, I'm going to get you.
No way I could grip anyone. My arms are crossed. That's why I do it.
And as they show poor Michael walking up the back stairs all sweaty, the music's like, dum dum, ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-boom, boom. You just hear someone go, it's Michael.
I hope you appreciated that I added a didgeridoo to that, just to set the scene.
I was wondering what was going on over there. It's like, God, it's amazing how we hear songs differently.
Thank you for that didgeridoo, Maisie.
Yes. So, guys, that was the end of part one of Potomac. Such a fun time. We will be back. Our next episode will be Married to Medicine, and then we will have Below Deck Mañana. And go to watchcrappins.com to get your tickets. Hopefully, we'll see so many people next week in Charlotte and Nashville. And we'll be back later. And so, again, hugs. Hugs to the Karams.
Thank you, honey. All of us. We love you guys. We'll talk to you in the next episode. Bye.
Bye.
Tell us what happened.
No comment.
Three unique crime stories.
They'd want to take the life of a young girl like that.
Two sides of the interrogation table.
It should be him sitting here instead of me.
One truth to uncover.
I know how you'll twist it.
Featuring guest stars David Tennant.
I cannot just sit here saying nothing.
Hayley Atwell.
You don't have proof. You don't have the first idea.
Carry on like this and you're gonna have blood on your hands.
Criminal. Coming to Netflix September 20th.
I am a force for good.
I am a force for courage.
And for calm.
I am a force for safety.
For fairness.
For leadership.
I am a force for the future.
For compassion.
For my community.
I am a police officer. And I am a force for all.
Be one of the 20,000 new police officers and be a force for all that you believe in. Search Join the Police.